why we need perseverance, how perseverance works, and then how we obtain perseverance. So hopefully everybody had a chance to review the content. And when the topics went out for the quarter for us to teach, I read through them, and very quickly I looked at a couple that I might relate to very well. And so I felt that perseverance probably is something that I relate to, both on a personal level and a professional level, just from a standpoint of what it is and the characteristic that it starts to accomplish. And again, we've been on this journey, and we're now in Lesson 7 talking about different qualities that we need as a Christian to be successful, right? And so as we think about perseverance and we start going through it, it comes from the word, and I may butcher it, so please bear with me, but hupomono, and it's a compound word, right? So hupo means under, and then meno is to abide. And so as you read through that, it means literally to abide under. And so it refers to qualities of steadfastness, consistency, and endurance. Thayer defines the word as the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. And so as we think about that component and you think about that definition, you can tell just by what we're talking about this evening, it's about what I call grit. And I use the word grit, right? It's about having that wherewithal to have a goal and to commit yourself, no matter what is the obstacle or thing that is coming up in your life, to be able to overcome that obstacle or bear through the temporary pain to continue your journey towards your goal. And again, as we think about that, and it talks later in the lesson about running a race, and it very well persists in athletic events, right? If you think about it, you're going to, through the course of a football game in 60 minutes, you're going to have highs and you're going to have lows and you're going to have trials and you're going to have things as a team that you need to overcome. On a Christian basis, there are things in your life from the point you become a Christian until the end of your life that you are going to face on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, or maybe even a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but you will face trials. You will face things that are going to test your faith, that you're going to have to lean on the core results of where you are, who you are, and what you've studied to get yourself through that successfully. And so when we talk about perseverance tonight, think about it in the context of it starts with a mindset, right? So if you think about it, perseverance starts with where your mindset is of how you're going to face trials in your life from a Christian basis. No team in the NFL ever starts the season saying, I want to go 2-10. Every team should start with the mindset of I want to win the Super Bowl, right? As a Christian, you've got to start with the mindset that my in-state goal is I want to go to heaven. That's where your goal is. That's the eye on the prize, right? The perseverance is the wherewithal that you're going to have to overcome the trials and tribulations, you might say, of your life to navigate to get to that goal. But it starts with a mindset of your commitment starting at the beginning of the journey of who you are, what you're going to live and what characteristics you're going to abide by, that when the rubber meets the road, you might say, or things get tough, of where are you going to go? What are you going to lean on to get you through that and maintain your focus on what your prize is, right? So as we go through this, it really talks about a couple of different components. There's two parts of perseverance, right? I'm sorry, I didn't change the slide. Patience is the first one, right? So patience is the ability to wait, which is necessary because we must wait on the Lord. Sometimes that's a trial in and of itself for some of us, right? We don't have the patience we should. We want it now, especially in this country. Americans are I want it yesterday culture. And if you don't believe me, think back 5 years ago in retail when you used to have to wait 2 or 3 days to get your package. You're like, oh, that's not too bad. If you've got to wait more than a couple of hours to have your grocery delivered now, you get agitated, right? And so patience is something that's in short supply culturally in our country. And so that propagates itself across how we live our lives. But we're told in the scripture that patience is a component of things we need to have as a Christian. Because we may want something in our time, but the Lord will provide it in the right time, right? And so we have to think through that and understand that our life has to incorporate patience. And patience is a part of perseverance. And then perseverance, in the word that we're talking about here, is the ability to bear under hardships, to keep from giving up. It is a resolute determination to steadfastly move forward to the goal, no matter what the obstacles, the ability to remain constant in what we are doing. So, if you read through the content, it's also got a verse in here or a quote by William Barclay. And it says, "It is not the patience which can sit down and bow its head and let things descend upon it and passively endure until the storm is past. It is the spirit which can bear things not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. It is not the spirit which sits statically enduring in one place, but the spirit which bears things because it knows that these things are leading to a goal of glory. It is not the patience which grimly waits for the end, but the patience which radiantly hopes for the dawn." So again, how do we apply this quote to a Christian's life? When we think about perseverance, and we think about, it's talking about patience. The patience is, we know that there's a better place at the end of this life, right? That's the patience it's referring to have patience for that time to come. Whether my journey on this life is for, 40 years or 50 years or 60 years, it doesn't matter, whatever that patience is needed. So like I said, hopefully you had the ability or the time today to click on that video that was about 5 minutes on YouTube. Did everybody, can I see a show of hands who saw it? Okay, so a pretty good amount. So I won't have to provide a lot of context. But the first thing, and let me say, anytime that video shows up on my Facebook feed, I have to stop and watch it. It's one of my favorite quotes. Probably 2-3 times a year it will show up in my Facebook feed. It's very similar to the movie Rudy. My wife hates the movie Rudy. But if I'm flipping through, I think she's banned TNT on my guide, because if I see Rudy on the TV, I will stop, because I think it's just a really great movie with a lot of lessons in it. Sort of like this clip that I sent out. But the first thing you will notice in that clip is, what was the attitude of the kid? He was sitting on the sideline. He was already saying, oh, well, we're going to get beat. So the first thing is, you've got to have the right mindset, and we talked about that. The second thing was, whenever the coach calls him up there and he says, can you do it? Well, I think I can go this far. Well, he challenged him, right? I think you can go further. And so he gets him to sign up for something bigger than what he thought. That's the first thing. But then after that, what happens next? Why does he blindfold him? Why does he put a blindfold on him? Yeah, so he won't know how far he went. Why? Because in life, if I set a goal, and we see it in business all the time, I'll set a goal, I could have done 25% more than that goal I set. I could have done 25, I could have done 30 more. The reason why he blindfolded him is because he wanted his best. And we'll come back to that. But he says, I want your best. And I'm going to blindfold you because I don't want you to quit. I want you to go as far as you can. I want you to push as hard as you can. Again, as a Christian, we should be able to take that thought process and say, look, there's not a point in my life where I'm going to reach this place where I can just sort of coast, where I can just sort of stop and pull back and say, hey, enough's enough. I've hit that goal. There's a line in the sand, and I'm already there. There's not that point. We should act as if we don't know where we are towards our goal, and we've got a blindfold on, and we've just got to continue to push. We've got to continue to challenge ourselves. We've got to continue to move forward, right? Because even though I'm in my 40s, and hopefully I've got a few more to go, I'm sure life doesn't get any easier. The challenges may get different, but it doesn't get any easier, right? And I've got to prepare myself for what are the challenges I'm going to face 10 years from now, hopefully 20 years from now, Lord willing, 30 years from now, because they're going to be different. I'm going to face different challenges than I do today. I don't know what those are, but I have to establish what my baseline is, that I believe and that I've got a goal and I know where I'm going and that I'm going to be able to face those trials because the Scripture tells me that, right? And so as we think about that, let's walk through, why do we need perseverance? So the first thing is to achieve self-control, right? So in Proverbs 23:17 it says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." Do not let your heart envy sinners. Why is that? What are they trying to tell us here? What it tells us is we can become distracted, right? During those tough times, that person, You know, they just don't live a godly life. But look at the benefits they've got. Look at how they're living their life. They're not having to struggle. Why am I doing what I'm doing? We shouldn't envy for sinners. We should, again, go back to the scripture. We should continue to persevere. As we think about the second one, see if I can get it to go. There we go. The way is difficult, right? Why do we need perseverance? Because we are told that it's not going to be an easy path. Again, as you think about it, go back to the beginning of thinking about your goals and your journey. If you know when you start it's not going to be easy, you should start mentally preparing yourself that you're going to have trials. You don't know what they are, and every person is going to be different. No one person is going to have the same trials as the next person. Each person's journey is different. Each person's trials and temptations are different, right? And so as you think about it, we're told the way is difficult. So we should mentally prepare ourselves that we know that we will face things. And again, the scripture that we have up on the screen there is Matthew 7:13-14. Says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." So again, is it just talking about the entire world here? I don't think it is. I would even say that it's talking inside the four walls of the church, right? It's talking about there are few who will find it. Just because you put on Christ doesn't mean you're guaranteed eternal salvation, right? That way is narrow for us. We have to continually reinforce ourselves on the narrow path because Satan's everywhere. Temptation's everywhere. Life is everywhere trying to pull you off of that goal, that focus that you've got. And so we just have to continually reinforce. That's why we talk about coming to the congregation, coming to this physical location and meeting with the body. Why? Because it reinforces being part of an organization, the body of Christ. It comes back to being here and edifying and lifting up one another, right? Why do we do that? We do it so that we can lift each other up, so that we can encourage one another, so that we know that we've got other people that we should be leaning on, right? Because, again, if you've ever been through those tasks, you need someone at times that you can lean on. You need someone for advice. You need someone to reinforce or to encourage you. And so as we think through that, that's why we come back to the baseline of why do we come together as a group? Why do we do those things? Why do we need perseverance? Because we're not there yet. The journey is never complete. And so as we think about Hebrews 10:36-39, if I can get my clicker to catch up to my talking. It says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." And then the second verse there is 2 Peter 1:10-11 says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So, again, as we think about the scripture there, what's it telling us? Making our election sure. What does that mean? It means coming back to establishing where are we going, what are our goals, who are we as a Christian, what is our faith about? Working to make our election sure, that means doing everything that we can so that it's not in question, right? A lot of times at work, we talk about what's controllable and what's not controllable, right? Non-controllable things are environmental factors that you just have to live through. Controllable things are things that you have a say in. You have the ability to influence. You have the ability to make a decision on. And again, those are the things that a lot of times you've got to make the right decision on, and you still live in an environment that you may not control. And that's okay. But you own what you own. You control what you can influence, right? And so as we think through that, that's something that we each have to continually monitor in our lives, right? We have to look at it. We have to continually ask the questions. Am I doing what I should be? Am I headed down the path? I know a lot of times at the end of my day, I reevaluate my day each day. I evaluate myself. How did I do at work? Did I make good decisions? Did I approach a situation correctly? Did I have the right conversations? As a parent, did I say the right things to my son or daughter that I should have? Did I treat them correctly? Did I treat my spouse correctly? I'm constantly evaluating what it is that I should have been doing all day. And did I do it correctly? And if not, okay, acknowledge I wasn't perfect today. Never, ever. But what did I need to do differently? And then I'll work on those in the future. And then on the last piece here, persecutions will come. So 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And then John 15, 19 through 21 says, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So again, we know from Scripture that persecutions will come. We should expect it. Prepare for it. A lot of times, when I'm talking to mentees at work who are maybe doing public speaking or different things, I say visualize yourself in that situation. Visualize yourself in front of 200 people and you're having to give a presentation on this. What do you see? What do you feel? How are you going to react to an increased heart rate and no notes? What happens if the monitor goes out? Have you prepared for that? As we think about the persecutions will come, you know your strengths and you know your weaknesses. You know places that are going to be a problem for you. You know situations that are going to be a problem for you. As you think about that, have you prepared yourself for how you're going to react in the situation? That's a personal question for each one of us, right? But I find that if you visualize and you play out situations in your life and you've already made a decision of what you're going to do, if you've already made a decision, when I'm in this situation, here's what I'm going to do, it helps you in the moment. It helps you make that right decision in the moment. If you never think about your weaknesses, you never visualize how you're going to deal with it, you're probably at a lower percentage of making the right decision if there's peer pressure or a situation that you find that's a high temptation. So I would just encourage everybody to continue to think through that. So how perseverance works. So we talked about the passive side versus the active side. And so we were talking about passive side of perseverance is endurance. It says the ability to patiently bear under trials and persecutions. The ability to patiently bear. I think that's the key word, patiently bear. Again, we said that patience is in short supply in this country. What I would say is I have a lot more patience now than I did 20 years ago. I wouldn't still say I'm probably at average. I'm probably still at a deficit. Still working on that, right? The emotional bank account of investing in patience. But again, as we think about it, one thing that as I've aged, I've gotten older, I've life experiences, right? Whether that's getting married and patience with a spouse, having children and patience with them, or you know, through my career growing in different leadership levels across organizations and dealing with different people and opinions and how that just functions. It helps you grow in patience, right? At least for me, it did. It says the ability to bear patiently under trials and persecutions. Why is that important when it says trials and persecutions? I think about the scripture talks about iron sharpens iron, right? The more temptation that you overcome, the more situations in life that you come through, the more you lean on God in your life when you're having those difficult times, it will help strengthen your faith. It will help you overcome not only today's temptation or today's trial, it will prepare you for greater trials in life, and it will become easier the next time you face it. Patiently, again, goes back to the, I want to overcome this trial today. Well, that may not be the case, right? You can think of certain trials. Think about health trials, people that don't have the health that they want. That could take weeks, months, years to overcome those things. It may never happen. But again, does that mean they should lose their faith? No. So again, having patience and understanding the Lord will do what he wills to do in his time. And sometimes it's not the answer that we want. I think that there's an understanding and a maturity in that piece too. We can ask, he will answer, but don't just look for the answer that you want. is probably the piece that I would counsel. And that's hard to accept sometimes, right? But if you think about Romans 12 and 12, it says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. So we've talked about having hope. We've talked about patience in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Why is that? Why is that important? That's like, the way I describe it, it's like the bat phone, right? It's like, I got a direct line. It's like the red phone back in the 80s, right? You've got a direct line from the White House to, you know, somebody important. For me, prayer is that pace, that place where I can have my heart spilled out. I can articulate to the Creator how I'm feeling, the things I need. I can acknowledge His greatness. I can acknowledge how much I definitely need Him in my life. And for Him to provide guidance. One thing I learned a long time ago in life is I stopped praying for specific things. I don't know if that's the best thing for me. I can say, if it's your will, here's what I'm thinking. But I also articulate, if it's not the best for me, then please make that decision and help me to accept that decision in my life. Right? And so when we think about prayer, that, I think it's with a humble spirit that we approach our Creator in that fact. Sure, Chris. For those online, I think Chris's point to synopsis was you're able to articulate and be an active participant through prayer in being able to articulate your will to the Creator, and it gives you sort of buy-in to the process, right, that you're being heard. Again, you've got to have a faith that prayer is the right avenue and that you will be heard. But I think that's a very good thought. So 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So again, talks about, again, we will endure hardship. So again, we all know if something's mentioned once in the Bible, it's going to be true. There are multiple verses that we're talking about here that tell us we're going to face trials, we're going to face temptations, we're going to face potentially even persecution, right? And so again, we have to make sure that we are having that passive endurance, that we're having faith in God, that this storm will pass, right? And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes there are just really difficult situations in life, and you don't know how you're going to make it through the day sometimes of what you're having to deal with. Let's see if I can get it up there. I cut and pasted these slides, so I should have checked all the animation on them. It did not go where I wanted it to go. But it says, he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with love, joy. Let's see if I can get down to it. There we go. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So again, it's giving us an example of what we don't want to be, right? We don't want to make a commitment in the short term. In the first trial that we have, we fall away. Again, for anyone that's been a member of the body of Christ, you've probably seen examples of this. You've seen a new convert that has passion, that is on fire, and very quickly they seem to lose that passion for whatever reason. And the next thing you know, they aren't coming like they should, and then they're not engaging, and the next thing you know, they're just not here. And it's talking about, we don't want that type of commitment. We don't want to be that type of person that makes that commitment. Again, being a Christian is more about a marathon than it is a sprint. It's about making sure that we're committed for the long haul, and that it's about making sure that we live our lives in a way for the eternal goal, right? But as you think about that, right, there's a second component to how this works, and it's the active side. So we talked about patience is the passive side, right? It's the waiting. It's the, I don't want to sit on my hands, but Lord, you act in your time. The active part of this is in the persistence, right? So persistence is the quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something, even though it is difficult or opposed by others. That's Webster's definition. Again, going back to the video link that I sent out to you, do you remember how we started out? You know, like the guys on the sideline are just over there joking. They're making fun. The guy's got a 160-pound dude on his back. He's just sort of bear crawling along, and everybody's doing it. Well, as he goes along and he gets further down there, the sideline, the teenagers sort of quiet down because they can tell something's happening that isn't something they can probably do. And we're going to see what happens. And then, if I had to guess, maybe about the 50-yard line, right, in this journey down the 100 yards, what starts happening? The coach is right there. The coach is right there encouraging him. And what's happening? What's he saying? Dude, it hurts. Coach, it hurts. Right? What kept him going? Again, he was being challenged to take that next step. But he wasn't being challenged to go another 50 yards. He was being challenged by his coach to go one more step, five more steps. Give me your best. And as I think about that, there's a lot of application for the journey that we're on. Sometimes I think we want to plan so far in the future, right? We want to talk about our retirement accounts 30 years from now. I got to have enough to retire on. Well, guess what? Sometimes giving it your best means I'm going to make it to tomorrow in a good state. I'm going to make it to the end of the day in a positive state. I've got a lot of trials. I've got a lot of things I'm dealing with. I've got a lot of struggles. And sometimes making it to the end of the day and worrying about tomorrow is a good thing. It's just a fact. Sometimes the burdens of life can get so overwhelming that you can allow it to drive you into the ground. But again, going back to that example of the coach, who are the coaches in your life? Who's encouraging you whenever you face those temptations, those trials? Is it a spouse? Maybe it's a parent, a grandparent, a close friend, a brother or sister in Christ? Who is it that's helping you through those times? Who's lifting you up and telling you, you can make it one more step? You can make it to tomorrow because after tomorrow, it'll get better. Who is that for you? Who's helping you to continue through something you don't want to do? Again, you go back to that example, that football player. If you've done those before, you don't want to go. It's burning. It hurts. Especially with a 160-pound person on your back. I wouldn't know what that feels like, but it sounds bad. Doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Even if I was in my prime, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But those are the kind of things that we talk about. And in the verse that we've got up there on the screen, running a race, Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I think part of the key to this verse is, that I would point out, is it says, lay aside every weight. Why do you lay aside weight? Because if you're running a race, you want the lightest stuff, right? I mean, they got shoes now that like weigh ounces. And guys complain, oh, well, these shoes aren't that good. I'm sorry, dude. I remember running in class, you know, gym class, and each shoe weighed like a pound. Again, you don't want weight if you're running a race. And I would say that sin, persecution, all these other things, distractions in your life are the weight. And you want to lose those so that you can run the race effectively. You want to put your faith in Christ. You want to keep your eye on the prize and the goal. You want to focus on doing the right things in your life. Because if you talk to runners have a runner form, right, Chris? There's a proper way to run, and then there's probably the way I run. You want to stay light. You want to stay on your toes. You want good breathing. You want good body motion. When it talks about running a race, you want proper form as a Christian to live your life in a way that you're running the race effectively. You want to shed sin from your life. You want to be streamlined and doing good for others, living your life in a way that is an example of a Christian. You want to make good decisions. Kevin, you got something? And so, again, as we run that race, that's what we want to be focused on. See if I can get us down here. All right. So then it's doing good. Romans 2, 7 and 10 says, eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then Galatians 6 and 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So again, it talks about where we should be focusing our lives. What type of action should we be focused on? Again, do you have the right company? Do you associate with the right people, the right organizations? Do you engage in the right things outside of work? Do you work for the right company? I might even ask that because sometimes there are certain companies that, quite honestly, I don't know that I could work for them just because of the business they're in or the business practices that they allow to happen. And so as you think through that, again, how are you treating others? How are you being an example and a role model to others? And how do you conduct your life in a way every day that you're trying to be a positive light? These aren't concepts that we probably, many of us, didn't learn in Bible class that's going on in the back over there. But how often do we sometimes forget even the basics? Again, how do we go back to first principles sometimes and just remind ourselves of who we are and what we should be doing on a day-to-day basis? What should our priorities be in our life? Today I had to remind myself of that. I was sitting there in probably about 4:30, and my daughter came up and she was working on a Bible lesson. And I sat there and I was working, and I told her, hey, just a minute. And then I caught myself, and I stopped what I was doing because what she was doing was more important. The work wasn't important. It would still be there whether it was 5 minutes or 10 minutes from then. Her engagement and me showing the importance and what she was doing as it related to a Bible study was much, much more important. So I stopped what I was doing, and I let the work stop, and I worked with her on what she needed help with. Again, how many instances on our day-to-day basis are like that where we have a moment to make the right decision, to set the right example, and live actively as the right example? I think that's the key word, the active side of perseverance. How do we actively engage our lives in the way that we do things? And it's almost like a life with intention. How do you have a life with intention? My intent is to be a Christian. My intent is to do the right things. Well, intention means I have to think about it. I have to work at it, and I have to try to understand the right things I should be doing in my life proactively. Then the last one on here is bearing fruit. Luke 8 and 15 says, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with the noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And then James 5, 7 and 8 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, patiently waiting for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I think, again, we've talked about those things. Again, I think the farmer example is great. Because, again, you plant a seed, and it's months before that's ready. But you tend it. You care for it. You weed eat your garden, right? You do everything you can to try to take care of that. And so how do we obtain perseverance? I'm going to hurry this up a little bit, if I can, with my slides. So perseverance. James 1, 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So again, going back to what we talked about, iron sharpens iron, right? Trials and tribulation will sharpen your ability. The more you go through, the stronger you will get, the better ability you will have to live your life in a way that you will overcome things easier next time. That's not to say you won't face new trials at each stage of your life, because each stage has different trials and tribulations. But again, leaning in on having faith and knowing what it is that you're about and who you are as a Christian will help you. Let's see where I got to here. All right, so it says, follow the right examples. James 5, 10, 11 says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure, who have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So again, we talked a little bit about who are your examples. Who are the people you look up to? Who are the Christians that you look at? But I would also say, are you being the right Christian example? You never know who's watching you, right? I don't care if you're a teenager, you're in middle life, or you're the end of life. It doesn't matter where you are in your journey. I guarantee you there's somebody looking at you as an example. Because somebody is always younger than you looking at how did this person handle this situation? How did that family handle that? How did that leader, that elder, deacon, whoever it is, Bible class teacher, how are they handling their life and their situation? You're an example at any point in your life. So are you living in a way that you can be that right example? And then the last one is faith around the reward. And it talks about, again, we want to make sure that we're working towards that end goal. And then how do we do that? And it's be dedicated. Go back to the beginning of our discussion at the Bible class. It starts with a mindset. It starts with the mindset of, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be dedicated to the cause. I know where I'm going. I know what the end goal is, and I'm going to stay focused on it. Easier said than done, but that's life, right? That's what we're all working towards, is to stay on the narrow path. And so, again, got a couple of scriptures up there for you. Again, 2 Timothy 3:12 through 17 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, and then the second one is, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So again, as we think about this, sort of wrapping it up, and you think about all the different components, again, what we're trying to do through perseverance is really dedicate ourselves in a way that we continue through the obstacles, right? That's perseverance. And going back to the example of the video, again, I like the example of being blindfolded. Don't ever draw a line in the sand that says, I've reached this, I'm done, as a Christian. Continue to push yourself through the difficult times. And you'd probably be surprised what you can do. Imagine if everyone in the congregation was striving and pushing harder than they are today, taking that next step. Where would we be? And again, if you go back to that video, what does the coach do at the end? He takes the blindfold off and says, and the guy's like, hey, that's got to be 50 yards. And he comes off like, no, Brock, you're in the opposite end zone. You did more than you thought you could do. And for me, taking that example of that video, I think about God being my coach. He's like, I want your best. I want your best. Brock, I want your best. You know, the whole time he's, I want your best. 2 more steps, 5 more steps, 10 more steps. I want your best. I know it hurts. Think about that in your life. Think about God sitting there saying, I want your best. You can do this. I'm here for you, and I can make you through it. That's the perseverance. That's the dedication we need. And we keep putting one foot, one hand in front of the next to get to our goal until we've crossed that line at the end of our journey, whenever that is. So I appreciate your attention. Thank you for your time this evening.